Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 2. In this chapter, Moses puts his railroad conductor hat on and gives the assembled crowd a whistle-stop tour of the past 40 years of their journey in the wilderness. All aboard the Sinai Desert Express.
This is your conductor. We'll be making three stops in this chapter. One to Edom in verses 1 through 8. Don't get off there. That's not your stop. God has given that land to the descendants of Esau. We'll be making our way into the country of Moab to our first stop in that region. Verse 9 through 15. Don't get off there either. The Ammonites are descendants of Lot. And God promised them their little patch of earth as well. And in a little while, the cabin crew should be coming around with some refreshments for your enjoyment. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey now into the promised land.
All right, I just can't do that voice anymore. Let me get into my normal voice, but let me pretend that I'm the conductor continuing the tour. The train will be taking a rest for approximately 38 years in the story until the entire generation that Cheese got off when the spies return are dead. Then we'll pick up and hit that third stop. That's where you want to get off the train. In that patch of land, that is where you're going to start settling. Verse 14 tells us 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley. By then, the entire generation of fighting men perished from the camp as the Lord had sworn to them. In other words, this land was inhabited by the Ammonites and ruled by King Heshbon. And King Heshbon, he wasn't too keen on Israelite tourists passing through his land, so he was going to make life difficult for them. But God's plan was for them to stay there nonetheless. And on the east side of the Jordan, they would take a chunk of land that they would eventually settle. 2.5 tribes would stay on this side. Now, imagine as you're passing this beautiful land in the first two places, you're asking Moses why you can't settle there. And you're told God made a promise. First to Esau, and then to Lot. You can just hear the people asking Moses, like the Smurfs asked, "Is it much further, Papa Smurf?" To which Moses would have echoed Papa Smurf's answer, "Not much further." You can see that God is having them pass through these two regions, and Moses explaining they won't be settling there because God wants them to know he keeps his promise. These two tours would have been a shining example that when God promises to give you the land, he's not an Indian giver. He's going to follow through on his word. So as they're passing through, they're noticing God is honoring his covenant with the others that he's promised to, Esau and Lot. He also kept the covenant, not a very good one, according to them, with their fathers not letting them enter the land for 40 years. It doesn't matter if it's 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, or 1,000,000 years. If God makes a promise, he will keep it. That in itself was a sermon on the go. God is nothing else if not a God of his word. Sihon, king of Heshbon. Hey, that kind of rhymes. If this were a Disney movie, there would for sure be a song about that. Oh well, I missed my chance. As they make their way across the gorge and finally get permission to head into this new territory, God says that he was going to give this land to them, but only because King Sihon, king of Heshbon, was being stubborn. So they send a message to the king, simply asking to let them pass through. But he refused. So they sent back a message that said, "Bring it," and came through anyways. The Israelites wiped them out, and in verse 34 it tells us something that has become a favorite theme of atheists and critics of the Bible. It says that including men, women, and children, there were no survivors. This creates a problem for some who can't conceive of God ever sanctioning children being killed. There are various theories, however. One scholar says this is just biblical smack talk, and that's how people spoke back then when pounding their chests after a battle. "We wiped them out! There wasn't anyone left!" Others point out there's really no humane way to take an entire region from a group of people unless you enslave them or imprison the survivors, none of which spares us from ethical dilemmas. Still, others point out later that the children are seen as being victims of abuse, some sexual, some physical. The people of the region were even killing their own children by offering them to the gods. We know this by archaeological evidence, and God also tells them, do not do the things that the people in this region were doing. Whatever your theory, it's a disturbing thought. And things that make us uncomfortable or present ethical dilemmas shouldn't make us doubt God. The Bible is a tell-it-like-it-is book, presenting us with what happened, warts and all. It's not hiding anything, not candy-coating anything. This first battle would have been one of the only ones where people would completely wipe out the inhabitants and didn't pose a threat to pulling them down into idolatry. Almost every other time the Hebrews went to battle, they let the people live, and it ultimately led to them worshiping the gods of those regions, leading to their rejection of God and consequently their own downfall. You know, there are things in our lives as well that we should probably kill. The Bible says, put to death the members of your body. You know, sin, when you give it an inch, it becomes a ruler. It wants to master us. And in Romans chapter 6, Paul tells us, put those things to death. They are no longer in charge. Jesus is. There has been a hostile takeover of our soul. And God wants for us to be free, not to become enslaved again, as he says later, by a yoke of bondage. Read Deuteronomy 2 today, and as you do, chew on the things we allow in our own lives that eventually trip us up and lead to compromise and idolatry.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.